There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sunday, MetLife, the Jets host the Steelers, and this will be the first time Le'Veon Bell faces his old team, the one he parted ways with after a contentious contract standoff. Here's how Bell believes Steelers fans who travel well, especially to New Jersey, will react.
I think it'll probably be 50-50. Yeah, I think it'll be half that, you know, be happy to see me and still love me, and half that, you know, hate me and despise me, you know, so... You know, it is what it is. I'm going to show love, you know, regardless. Everybody that's wearing my jersey, I'm going to go sign it and things like that. So it'll be fun.
New on NFL Live, there's this from Bell's former teammate Juju Smith-Schuster on what has to happen between now and Sunday for him to play against the Jets. Quote, don't go out. Don't go out party. Don't go out dancing. Just stay home and make sure my knee is good. Do you think that's any sort of reference to bowling?
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if that was like a thinly veiled shot.
Maybe just
Bell.
Having a little fun? I'm not sure.
Juju seems like the kind of guy that knows enough not to sort of bring on that sort of added attention.
Poke the bear?
Yeah.
Taking a look at the AFC playoff picture, Houston is on top of the AFC South with two games to play. The Titans currently on the outside looking in because the Steelers hold the tiebreaker edge for the second wildcard spot. The Patriots and Bills will battle it out for the AFC East on Saturday, and the Ravens can clinch the top seed in the conference with a win Sunday in Cleveland. How will it all play out? Let's turn on the playoff machine.
Am I the machine here?
Well,
I'm running this thing.
You.
All right, so let's see what happens. This is just, you know, we'll see what happens here, but let's go New England. Okay, this is going to be a close game, but I'll go with New England. I like New Orleans on the road. Look at Baltimore. They're going to revenge one of their losses earlier in the season, so they're going to win. Kansas City at Chicago. I feel like there's a lot of confidence there in Kansas City right now, so I'll go Kansas City. I'm going to go Houston. I like them back-to-back. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh. The rest of these really don't matter because they're out of it. Let's move to 17. Where are we at right now?
Okay.
We'll see those matchups.
Good matchups.
Now, let's see. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I'm going Baltimore. Okay. Tennessee at Houston. I'm going Tennessee with this one. I'm going Tennessee. I'm going to mix things up a little bit. I'm going to go Kansas City versus the Chargers. Buffalo Jets, I'm going Buffalo. New England, Miami, I'm going New England. And then the rest doesn't matter. So what are we looking like right here? Patriots. They get the bye week, that very important bye week for guys to rest up and recover. We got the Titans at the Chiefs. That'll be a decent matchup. That'll be fun to watch. And then Bills at Texans. So, very interesting here. What do you think?
You knocked the Steelers out?
Steelers got knocked out. Really interesting is, remember, 2 years ago, the Titans upset the Kansas City Chiefs. That was Mike Mularkey as head coach, Alex Smith as the quarterback there. Earlier this year, they got the Chiefs in the regular season. How cool is it to see the Buffalo Bills back in the playoffs? I know they've already clinched and they were there 2 years ago, but that E team 2 years ago, when they played the Jaguars, that was like, it was just cool to be there. Now they're trying to do some damage.
You know, nothing against going to Houston, but can you imagine the atmosphere?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How fun.
You know, they're about to play a game tomorrow. Probably the biggest game of the last 10 years for that organization. Last playoff win was 1995. So this is a playoff game.
Yeah,
this
sure
is a playoff game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
For a number of teams, it's a playoff game. Since 2016, when both Dak and Carson Wentz entered the league, they have matched up six times, with Dak winning four of those six. But Wentz has been the better quarterback, throwing 11 touchdowns to just two interceptions, culminating with a quarterback rating of 62. As we welcome in Lewis Riddick from Philadelphia, surrounded by lots of Philly fans. So, Lewis, in this game, if it came down to just one thing, what do you believe that would be?
Well, Susie, I think it's obviously going to come down to Carson Wentz in particular, continuing to play at the high level that he's been playing at, in particular over the past 3 weeks. I mean, he's been someone who really has done all the things that he's been paid to do, namely raise the level of everyone else's performance. You saw it against the Giants in the second half on Monday night. You saw it last week in Washington as far as some of the throws that he made. Look, there's only one other quarterback that could make some of the throws that he's making, and that may be Pat Mahomes. The touchdown pass to Miles Sanders and then the game winner to Greg Ward. They were two different types of passes. One was the laser on a rope. The other was the ultimate touch pass. If he can do those kinds of things in this game, he's going to pull the upset against the Dallas Cowboy team that man for man is more talented. But we know in these kind of games, when there's a rivalry like this, all bets are off. And if Carson can play at that level, they're going to come out of this game with a win.
Lewis, we'll look forward to you and the crew. We'll have Sunday NFL Countdown from Philadelphia on Sunday morning. And then, of course, it's on to Minneapolis. There's a critical Monday night football game for the NFC North. If the Packers win, they win the North. If the Vikings win, they're in the playoffs. So, Lewis, let's start with you on this because we know these are solid defenses with a couple of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Which defense do you have more faith in?
Well, I would have more faith in Minnesota because you're going to be playing at home. They're going to have the benefit of crowd noise. And with crowd noise comes the ability to jump the snap count. And when you have guys like Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter, that's all you really need. You just need that extra second, that extra split second to be able to work your magic off the edge. And look, right now, as good as Aaron Rodgers can be, he really only has really one dependable weapon in Davante Adams. And it's easier to scheme for one guy than it is to scheme for a bunch of them like he used to have in the past. So I think at home with the crowd noise, with everything on the line, I'm going to go ahead and put my money on those two edge rushers to really make a difference in this game.
Sounds like Lewis is leaning toward Vikings all the way around. How about defensive-wise, Rob? Which way are you leaning here?
Yeah, I'm going Vikings as well. Like Lewis said, with that home field advantage, I think that that is such a key factor, especially going against Aaron Rodgers, who we all know if he's under pressure this year, seems to be a little shaky this season. He hasn't been as crisp as we have seen in the past. But the biggest factor, I think, is you look at the offense of the Vikings, running the football, they're going to have to stick to their bread and butter. I know that they're going to be without their number one running back, but, you know, you have backups for a reason, and you have a great offensive line. So that's what they're going to have to do, establish the run game early against the Packers.
I'll make it a clean sweep in terms of which defense I would pick. I'll go with the Vikings as well. But the fact that it's close tells you how far this Green Bay defense has come since last year, right? The Smiths on the bookends have been terrific for them all year. Darnell Savage, their first-round pick, or one of their two first-round picks, has been really good as well. The reason why I tip the scales in the favor of the Vikings is that if there's one team that is more likely to rely on the running game as a strength on Monday night, it's probably the Packers. And the reason why I'm not saying the Vikings is because Rob just alluded to it. They've got some injuries in the backfield. It could be Mike Boone on Monday night as their go-to guy. More weapons in the passing game, as Lewis was just mentioning. A little bit limited in Green Bay, more weapons in the passing game. I think the strength of the Vikings' run defense is enough to contain Aaron Jones on Monday night.
And, of course, we're going to see if Kirk Cousins can get that very elusive first win on a Monday night. And, Lewis, we appreciate you checking in. And have fun on your journeys this weekend.
Yeah, this is going to be wild. This is going to be a good one here.
It sure is. New on NFL Live, Tom Brady is a man of his word. After their matchup last week, Joe Mixon tweeted that he was too scared to ask Brady for a jersey after the game. Tom said he would send one his way, and here's the proof. Isn't that sweet? That's a nice Christmas present, but it's not all good news for Mixon.
Well, so we'll see, Susie. He was limited in Thursday's practice because of a calf issue, upgraded to full and removed from the injury report today. It's been red hot of late. They play the Dolphins on Sunday with a lot at stake if you're into Mel Kiper and Todd McShay mock drafts.
Not red hot. Tom Brady in his last five games has failed to reach a quarterback rating of 40. That's the longest such streak in the NFL this season. He is ahead of Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and Ryan Finley. And who knew? Who knew that our resident lumberjack, the bearded one, Rob Ninkovich, is now the number jack. So Rob is going to take a swing at some numbers here. I'm going to say the number. You tell me if you're backing it or hacking it. I think I feel like I better stay out of the way.
I have paper
so I don't
here.
Get
no
injured.
Okay. Okay. We're
all right.
Okay.
Tom Brady ends five-game streak with the QBR under 40.
Okay, so I am backing my man, Tom Brady. I feel like he is going to be able to overcome that. He's playing the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a huge game. Look, you can't go against Tom. Look, he's a Hall of Famer. He's the best to do it. You know, one of the best ever. And I think that in this game, he understands they're backed up into a corner. They know it's a must win. And I'm going to have to go with Brady. I think that he's going to get it done and he's going to overcome at QBR.
175 rushing yards last week for the Patriots. Maybe if they continue to run the football effectively, it can open up some looks.
Play action.
Passing game.
That's right.
Speaking of Brady, he has the NFL record for passing yards over a three-game stretch with 1,327. Jameis Winston needs 414 to pass Brady for the new record tomorrow against Houston. So 414, backing or hacking?
414. I'm hacking that thing up. I'm cutting it up. No way. No Evans. No Godwin.
Careful.
No bueno. It's not happening. I'm hacking it up. I can't. The 414 is going to be without his key pieces in the receiving core. We all know how explosive they were in fantasy this year. But you're going to miss out on some guys that are very tremendous in the receiving core. So without these guys, I think it's going to be very tough for Winston to throw 414 yards. I just don't think it happens.
All right, I'm one of those people that's irresponsible. I don't have a Christmas tree yet, but I know what I'm doing. I'm paying you after the show. We're going to take a trip down the road. We're going to go find ourselves a big old tree, and you're hacking it down. Your form is terrific. But
oh, thank you. It's a small chop. It's a small chop.
There is no quarterback that is more of a roller coaster week to week than Jameis Winston. So as much as you're correct in noting that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are out, who knows? Like, I am prepared to live in a world where Breshad Perriman and Justin Watson combined for 250 receiving. Who knows? It's Jameis. You never know.
All right, next, will the Cowboys extend their win streak over the Eagles to 5 games? Hacking or backing?
I'm hacking that thing up. It's not, no,
yeah,
look, this is a divisional game. We all know how important this is going to be. I'm hacking it up. The Eagles are fired up. They know, guess what? Guys, let's stop the run. Let's stop the run. I'm a defender. You're going to run the ball? I know how amped up I get to understand. I'm coming into this game, and we're going to stop the run. The Eagles are going to be ready to go. I'm excited to watch this game.
Man, again, I'm just so impressed by the form here.
It's not crazy.
Really impressive.
You should see me with a real axe. You'd be scared.
Okay, yeah, I already am a little bit afraid. Again, offensive line for the Cowboys last week, 0 sacks allowed, most rushing yards in a game since 2017. Can they control the line of scrimmage? Because as much as we're talking about Dak Prescott, as he said earlier, Susie, the new protection he's adding, equipment-wise, is a great offensive line.
On now to our Monday Night Football matchup. While Aaron Rodgers has won his last 5 starts on Monday Night Football, the flip side is Kirk Cousins' 0-8 lifetime record on Monday nights. Here's Mike Zimmer on his QB.
Kirk has done a great job for us this year. He's been outstanding. He's played great all year long. If we get beat on Monday night, it's not going to be because of Kirk Cousins. It's because we didn't win as a team.
Rob, is Cousins going to snap the losing streak on Monday night, hacking or backing?
I'm backing. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to snap it. Look, this team understands how mentally tough they are. They have a great offensive line. They can run the football. Yes, they have an injury in the running back position, but I know that front, when you have a great offensive line, you hand the ball off. Guess what? They do all the work. Just run straight. Don't fumble. That's what I tell the backup running back right now.
So Mike Boone, obviously going to be a big part
Mike
of the running
Boone,
game.
Mike Boone,
that's it. How about this, though? Stephon Diggs and Kirk Cousins have combined for more receptions and receiving yards on throws 20-plus yards down the field this season. Big test for the Packers on Monday night. Find a way to mitigate those explosive plays. And, of course, we can't wait for this game because Susie will be there anchoring our coverage from Minnesota, where I don't care how cold it is outside, the Vikings playing inside is a beautiful thing.
Prescott on health alert all week with a sprained right shoulder. And as Ed Werder has been reporting, it's the first time in his career that he didn't practice all week. So let's get the latest now from Ed, who is with the team in Frisco, Texas. So, Ed, what is the status of Dak getting some throws in before game time on Sunday?
Yeah, actually, Susie, Dak Prescott was throwing on a limited basis today at practice for the first time since his shoulder injury was revealed. There was nothing involving velocity or significant distances, but that should intensify in the time the Cowboys have remaining between now and the start of Sunday's game against the Eagles. You know, Prescott's already declared that he's starting, so Jason Garrett and the coaching staff have to evaluate his capabilities daily and will do so right through pregame warmups at the stadium on game day. The unresolved issues pertain to what Prescott can physically execute, how that affects Kellen Moore's play calling, and the degree to which the quarterback is vulnerable to being re-injured. But his determination to overcome his first significant injury is such that we just came out of the locker room and you asked teammates, and it's like they're not even aware that he's injured, Susie. They said they haven't changed their expectations of how Prescott will play and have no doubt about how committed he is to winning.
Well, first thing, Dak is one of the greatest football players, one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest people I've ever been around. How he practices day in and day out, how he plays in the game, how he plays through pain, how hard he plays. He's a guy that's inspired us since he's walked in here. And just knowing who he is as a person, the way he's going to battle through things and the way he plays, it's an inspiration, and we'd love to rally around him.
Well, when I suggested to safety Jeff Heath that Prescott might be compromised and might not be able to play his normal style, he warned against underestimating him and assured that the quarterback would do whatever is necessary to win the game. The first indication as to the team's confidence that Prescott can play four quarters comes tomorrow when they have to decide whether to promote third-team quarterback Clayton Thorson from the practice squad. That's required for him to be eligible to be active for the game on Sunday. So far, Garrett has gone into every game with Cooper Rush and Prescott as the only quarterbacks on the active list. And one more thing about the hostile environment the Cowboys expect, Susie. Sean Lee, who you heard a little bit earlier, said his father will be at the game as a Cowboys fan, and it's 50-50 that he gets into a fight.
Oh, I'm saying fight. Yeah, fight. Thanks, Ed. Great job on that. And we know you'll keep us updated. So here are some notable clinching scenarios for Week 16. In the NFC, the Cowboys can clinch the East with a win over the Eagles. The Packers can clinch the North with a win over the Vikings on Monday night. In the AFC, the Ravens can clinch home field advantage with a win. The Texans can claim the South on Saturday with a win over the Bucks. So with all of that laid out, here comes our Friday forecast, looking at games that have playoff implications, and we have put them into four categories, and we're going to start picking them. All right. Okay. First one is biggest lock, Rob. Which game, biggest lock?
I'm going with the Ravens. You see, home field advantage is a very big deal. This team is fired up. You got Lamar Jackson playing at an ultimate level right now. Look, that whole team seems to be trending in the right direction at the right time, and all season long they've been special. So I just think that this game here, they're also going to have a little chip on their shoulder because of the fact that the Browns were one of the teams that did give them a loss earlier in the year. So I anticipate them being fired up, ready to go, and it's going to be a game that they win.
I believe their last loss.
Correct. That's right.
That's the last time.
40-25. Yeah, Matt Judon for the Ravens, who has established himself as one of the best pass rushers in the league, named to his first Pro Bowl. Remember, this offseason, all these questions. How do you place Za'Darius Smith up front? Terrell Suggs, who, of course, left and went to Arizona temporarily. Well, the answer is you just continue to do what the Ravens do. Build back from within. Judon has been a great player for the Ravens this season. One of 12 players named to the Pro Bowl this week. Congrats
That's
to all real. Players.
That's editorially. Amazing. Rob. Closest game of the weekend?
I think it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Rams. Look, the Rams have been playing kind of up and down, right? And they're trying to figure themselves out offensively. But the San Francisco 49ers coming off a uncharacteristic loss against the Falcons, kind of trending in the wrong direction for the 49ers at the end of the season here, dealing with some injuries. It's going to be a tighter game. This defense, the 49ers defense, looking to get back on track, and they're going to win this game by two.
So it's always a problem when you're facing Aaron Donald, regardless of how good your interior offensive line is. But last week, the San Francisco 49ers offensive line could not slow down Grady Jarrett. It was the first game replacing Weston Richburg. It was Ben Garland who stepped into that starting center role. The 49ers have an awesome set of tackles. And when Richburg was healthy, he's a great center as well. But their guards have been the two areas of vulnerability all season. Add the center spot. The interior offensive line is something to monitor for the 49ers in the next 2 weeks and beyond.
Of these key games, Rob, what's the highest scoring game?
I think it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You see how they're working offensively. Look, you have Tyreek Hill. You have explosive players. You got Travis Kelce. You got Pat Mahomes, who is coming back. I feel like the confidence of him after he had his patella tendon injury, it took a couple weeks for him to feel back to normal. You saw last week in the snow, he was having fun. He was spinning it in the snow. He was loving it. So you see a team here that they're having a good time. They're having a blast. Defensively, they're playing better. So I just think that Kansas City, they're ready to go. And against a Bears team that, look, they've been struggling too.
Flip side, lowest scoring game.
Lowest scoring game, I'm going the Patriots and the Bills.
10-7.
10-7. It's tense. It's going to be one of them old school defensive battles. And look, the Bills have a great defense. The Patriots, we all know, have a great defense. And it's going to be a 10-7 game. So If you're a defensive player like myself and you love watching defense,
you love that, huh?
Go check it out. It's going to be fun.
Sunday, MetLife. The Jets host the Steelers, and this will be the first time Le'Veon Bell faces his old team, the one he parted ways with after a contentious contract standoff. Here's how Bell believes Steelers fans who travel well, especially to New Jersey, will react.
I think it'll probably be 50-50. Yeah, I think it'll be half that, you know, be happy to see me and still love me, and half that, you know, hate me and despise me. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to show love, you know, regardless. Everybody that's wearing my jersey, I'm going to go sign it and things like that. So, it'll be fun.
New on NFL Live, there's this from Bell's former teammate Juju Smith-Schuster on what has to happen between now and Sunday for him to play against the Jets. Quote, don't go out. Don't go out party. Don't go out dancing. Just stay home and make sure my knee is good. Do you think that's any sort of reference to bowling?
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if that was like a thinly veiled shot.
Maybe just
Bell.
Having a little fun? I'm not sure.
Juju seems like the kind of guy that knows enough not to sort of bring on that sort of added attention.
Poke the bear?
Yeah.
Taking a look at the AFC playoff picture, Houston is on top of the AFC South with two games to play. The Titans currently on the outside looking in because the Steelers hold the tiebreaker edge for the second wildcard spot. The Patriots and Bills will battle it out for the AFC East on Saturday, and the Ravens can clinch the top seed in the conference with a win Sunday in Cleveland. How will it all play out? Let's turn on the playoff machine.
Am I the machine here?
Well,
I'm running this thing.
You.
All right, so let's see what happens. This is just, you know, we'll see what happens here, but let's go New England. Okay, this is going to be a close game, but I'll go with New England. I like New Orleans on the road. Look at Baltimore. They're going to revenge one of their losses earlier in the season, so they're going to win. Kansas City at Chicago. I feel like there's a lot of confidence there in Kansas City right now, so I'll go Kansas City. I'm going to go Houston. I like them back-to-back. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh. The rest of these really don't matter because they're out of it. Let's move to 17. Where are we at right now?
Okay.
We'll see those matchups.
Good matchups.
Now, let's see. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I'm going Baltimore. Okay. Tennessee at Houston. I'm going Tennessee with this one. I'm going Tennessee. I'm going to mix things up a little bit. I'm going to go Kansas City versus the Chargers. Buffalo Jets, I'm going Buffalo. New England, Miami, I'm going New England. And then the rest doesn't matter. So what are we looking like right here? Patriots. They get the bye week, that very important bye week for guys to rest up and recover. We got the Titans at the Chiefs. That'll be a decent matchup. That'll be fun to watch. And then Bills at Texans. So, very interesting here. What do you think?
You knocked the Steelers out?
Steelers got knocked out.
Yep.
Really interesting is, remember, 2 years ago, the Titans upset the Kansas City Chiefs. That was Mike Mularkey as head coach, Alex Smith as the quarterback there. Earlier this year, they got the Chiefs in the regular season. How cool is it to see the Buffalo Bills back in the playoffs? I know they've already clinched and they were there 2 years ago, but that E team 2 years ago, when they played the Jaguars, that was like, it was just cool to be there. Now they're going to do some damage.
You know, nothing against going to Houston, but can you imagine the atmosphere?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How fun.
You know, they're about to play a game tomorrow, probably the biggest game of the last 10 years for that organization. Last playoff win was 1995, so this is a playoff game.
Yeah,
this
sure
is a playoff game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
For a number of teams, it's a playoff game. Since 2016, when both Dak and Carson Wentz entered the league, they have matched up six times, with Dak winning four of those six. But Wentz has been the better quarterback, throwing 11 touchdowns to just two interceptions, culminating with a quarterback rating of 62. As we welcome in Louis Riddick from Philadelphia, surrounded by lots of Philly fans. So, Louis, in this game, if it came down to just one thing, what do you believe that would be?
Well, Susie, I think it's obviously going to come down to Carson Wentz in particular, continuing to play at the high level that he's been playing at, in particular over the past 3 weeks. I mean, he's been someone who really has done all the things that he's been paid to do, namely raise the level of everyone else's performance. You saw it against the Giants in the second half on Monday night. You saw it last week in Washington as far as some of the throws that he made. Look, there's only one other quarterback that could make some of the throws that he's making, and that may be Pat Mahomes. The touchdown pass to Miles Sanders and then the a game winner to Greg Ward. They were two different types of passes. One was the laser on a rope. The other was the ultimate touch pass. If he can do those kinds of things in this game, he's going to pull the upset against the Dallas Cowboy team that, man for man, is more talented. But we know in these kind of games, when there's a rivalry like this, all bets are off. And if Carson can play at that level, they're going to come out of this game with a win.
Lewis, we'll look forward to you and the crew. We'll have Sunday NFL countdown from Philadelphia on Sunday morning. And then, of course, it's on to Minneapolis. There's a critical Monday night football game for the NFC North. If the Packers win, they win the North. If the Vikings win, they're in the playoffs. So, Lewis, let's start with you on this because we know these are solid defenses with a couple of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Which defense do you have more faith in?
Well, I would have more faith in Minnesota because you're going to be playing at home. They're going to have the benefit of crowd noise. And with crowd noise comes the ability to jump the snap count. And when you have guys like Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter, that's all you really need. You just need that extra second, that extra split second to be able to work your magic off the edge. And look, right now, as good as Aaron Rodgers can be, he really only has really one dependable weapon in Davante Adams. And it's easier to scheme for one guy than it is to scheme for a bunch of them like he used to have in the past. So I think at home with the crowd noise, with everything on the line, I'm going to go ahead and put my money on those two edge rushers to really make a difference in this game.
Sounds like Lewis is leaning toward Vikings all the way around. How about defensive-wise, Rob? Which way are you leaning here?
Yeah, I'm going Vikings as well. Like Lewis said, with that home field advantage, I think that that is such a key factor, especially going against Aaron Rodgers, who we all know if he's under pressure this year, seems to be a little shaky this season. He hasn't been as crisp as we have seen in the past. But the biggest factor, I think, is you look at the offense of the Vikings, running the football, they're going to have to stick to their bread and butter. I know that they're going to be without their number one running back, but, you know, you have backups for a reason, and you have a great offensive line. So that's what they're going to have to do, establish the run game early against the Packers.
I'll make it a clean sweep in terms of which defense I would pick. I'll go with the Vikings as well. But the fact that it's close tells you how far this Green Bay defense has come since last year, right? The Smiths on the bookends have been terrific for them all year. Darnell Savage, their first-round pick, or one of their two first-round picks, has been really good as well. The reason why I tipped the scales in the favor of the Vikings is that if there's one team that is more likely to rely on the running game as a strength on Monday night, it's probably the Packers. And the reason why I'm not saying the Vikings is because Rob just alluded to it. They've got some injuries in the backfield. It could be Mike Boone on Monday night as their go-to guy. More weapons in the passing game, as Lewis was just mentioning. A little bit limited in Green Bay. More weapons in the passing game. I think the strength of the Vikings' run defense is enough to contain Aaron Jones on Monday night.
And, of course, we're going to see if Kirk Cousins can get that very elusive first win on a Monday night. And, Lewis, we appreciate you checking in. And have fun on your journeys this weekend.
Yeah, this is going to be wild. This is going to be a good one here.
It sure is. New on NFL Live, Tom Brady is a man of his word. After their matchup last week, Joe Mixon tweeted that he was too scared to ask Brady for a jersey after the game. Tom said he would send one his way, and here's the proof. Isn't that sweet? That's a nice Christmas present, but it's not all good news for Mixon.
Well, so we'll see, Susie. He was limited in Thursday's practice because of a calf issue, upgraded to full, and removed from the injury report today. It's been red hot of late. They play the Dolphins on Sunday with a lot at stake if you're into Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's mock drafts.
Not red hot. Tom Brady in his last five games has failed to reach a quarterback rating of 40. That's the longest such streak in the NFL this season. He is ahead of Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and Ryan Finley. And who knew? Who knew that our resident lumberjack, the bearded one, Rob Ninkovich, is now the number jack. So Rob is going to take a swing at some numbers here. I'm going to say the number. You tell me if you're backing it. We're hacking it. I think I feel like I better stay out of the way.
I have paper
so I don't
here.
Get
no
injured.
Okay. We're okay. We're
all right.
Okay.
Tom Brady ends five-game streak with the QBR under 40.
Okay, so I am backing my man, Tom Brady. I feel like he is going to be able to overcome that. He's playing the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a huge game. Look, you can't go against Tom. Look, he's a Hall of Famer. He's the best to do it. You know, one of the best ever, and I think that in this game he understands they're backed up into a corner. They know it's a must win, and I'm gonna have to go with Brady. I think that he's gonna get it done, and he's gonna overcome at QBR.
175 rushing yards last week for the Patriots. Maybe if they continue to run the football effectively, it can open up some looks.
Play action. That's right.
Speaking of Brady, he has the NFL record for passing yards over a three-game stretch with 1,327. Jameis Winston needs 414 to pass Brady with a new record tomorrow against Houston. So 414, backing or hacking?
414. I'm hacking that thing up. I'm cutting it up. No way. No Evans. No Godwin.
Careful.
No bueno. It's not happening. I'm hacking it up. I can't. The 414 is going to be without his key pieces in the receiving core. We all know how explosive they were in fantasy this year. But you're going to miss out on some guys that are very tremendous in the receiving core. So without these guys, I think it's going to be very tough for Winston to throw 414 yards. I just don't think it happens.
All right, I'm one of those people that's irresponsible. I don't have a Christmas tree yet, but I know what I'm doing. I'm paying you after the show. We're going to take a trip down the road. We're going to go find ourselves a big old tree, and you're hacking it down. Your form is terrific. But
oh, thank you. It's a small chop. It's a small chop.
There is no quarterback that is more of a roller coaster week to week than Jameis Winston. So as much as you're correct in noting that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are out, who knows? Like, I am prepared to live in a world where Breshad Perriman and Justin Watson combined for 250 receiving. Who knows? It's Jameis. You never know.
All right, next, will the Cowboys extend their win streak over the Eagles 5 games? Hacking or backing?
I'm hacking that thing up. It's not, no.
Yeah,
look, this is a divisional game. We all know how important this is going to be. I'm hacking it up. The Eagles are fired up. They know, guess what? Guys, let's stop the run. Let's stop the run. I'm a defender. You're going to run the ball? I know how amped up I get to understand. I'm coming into this game, and we're going to stop the run. The Eagles are going to be ready to go. I'm excited to watch this game.
Man, again, I'm just so impressed by the form here.
It's just,
it's
crazy.
Really impressive.
You should see me with a real axe if you're scared.
Okay, yeah, I already am a little bit afraid. Again, offensive line for the Cowboys last week, 0 sacks allowed, most rushing yards in a game since 2017. Can they control the line of scrimmage? Because as much as we're talking about Dak Prescott, as he said earlier, Susie, the new protection he's adding, equipment-wise, is a great offensive line.
On now to our Monday Night Football matchup. While Aaron Rodgers has won his last 5 starts on Monday Night Football, the flip side is Kirk Cousins' 0-8 lifetime record on Monday nights. Here's Mike Zimmer on his QB.
Kirk has done a great job for us this year. He's been outstanding. He's played great all year long. If we get beat on Monday night, it's not going to be because of Kirk Cousins. It's because we didn't win as a team.
Rob, is Cousins going to snap the losing streak on Monday night, hacking or backing?
I'm backing. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to snap it. Look, this team understands how mentally tough they are. They have a great offensive line. They can run the football. Yes, they have an injury in the running back position, but I know that that front, when you have a great offensive line, you hand the ball off. Guess what? They do all the work. Just run straight. Don't fumble. That's what I tell the backup running back right now.
So Mike Boone, obviously going to be a big part
Mike
of the
Boone,
running game.
That's it.
How about this, though? Stephon Diggs and Kirk Cousins have combined for more receptions and receiving yards on throws 20-plus yards down the field this season. Big test for the Packers on Monday night. Find a way to mitigate those explosive plays. And, of course, we can't wait for this game because Susie will be there anchoring our coverage from Minnesota, where I don't care how cold it is outside, the Vikings playing inside is a beautiful thing.
Prescott on health alert all week with a sprained right shoulder. And as Ed Werder has been reporting, it's the first time in his career that he didn't practice all week. So let's get the latest now from Ed, who is with the team in Frisco, Texas. So, Ed, what is the status of Dak getting some throws in before game time on Sunday?
Yeah, actually, Susie, Dak Prescott was throwing on a limited basis today at practice for the first time since his shoulder injury was revealed. There was nothing involving velocity or significant distances, but that should intensify in the time the Cowboys have remaining between now and the start of Sunday's game against the Eagles. You know, Prescott's already declared that he's starting, so Jason Garrett and the coaching staff have to evaluate his capabilities daily and will do so right through pregame warmups at the stadium on game day. The unresolved issues pertain to what Prescott can physically execute, how that affects Kellen Moore's play calling, and the degree to which the quarterback is vulnerable to being re-injured. But his determination to overcome his first significant injury is such that we just came out of the locker room and you asked teammates, and it's like they're not even aware that he's injured, Susie. They said they haven't changed their expectations of how Prescott will play and have no doubt about how committed he is to winning.
Well, first thing, Dak is one of the greatest football players, one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest people I've ever been around. How he practices day in and day out, how he plays in the game, how he plays through pain. How hard he plays. He's a guy that's inspired us since he's walked in here. And just knowing who he is as a person The way he's going to, you know, battle through things and the way he plays, it's an inspiration, and we'd love to rally around him.
Well, when I suggested to safety Jeff Heath that Prescott might be compromised and might not be able to play his normal style, he warned against underestimating him and assured that the quarterback would do whatever is necessary to win the game. The first indication as to the team's confidence that Prescott can play four quarters comes tomorrow when they have to decide whether to promote third-team quarterback Clayton Thorson from the practice squad. That's required for him to be eligible to be active for the game on Sunday. So far, Garrett has gone into every game with Cooper Rush and Prescott as the only quarterbacks on the active list. And one more thing about the hostile environment the Cowboys expect, Susie. Sean Lee, who you heard a little bit earlier, said his father will be at the game as a Cowboys fan, and it's 50-50 that he gets into a fight.
Oh, I'm saying fight. Yeah, fight. Thanks, Ed. Great job on that. And we know you'll keep us updated. So here are some notable clinching scenarios for Week 16. In the NFC, the Cowboys can clinch the East with a win over the Eagles. The Packers can clinch the North with a win over the Vikings on Monday night. In the AFC, the Ravens can clinch home field advantage with a win. The Texans can claim the South on Saturday with a win over the Bucks. So with all of that laid out, here comes our Friday forecast, looking at games that have playoff implications, and we have put them into four categories, and we're going to start picking them. All right. Okay. First one is biggest lock, Rob. Which game, biggest lock?
I'm going with the Ravens. You see home field advantage is a very big deal. This team is fired up. You got Lamar Jackson playing at an ultimate level right now. Look, that whole team seems to be trending in the right direction at the right time, and all season long they've been special. So I just think that this game here, they're also going to have a little chip on their shoulder because of the fact that the Browns were one of the teams that did give them a loss earlier in the year. So I anticipate them being fired up, ready to go, and it's going to be a game that they win.
I believe their last loss.
Correct. That's right.
That's the last time.
40-25. Yeah, Matt Judon for the Ravens, who has established himself as one of the best pass rushers in the league, named to his first Pro Bowl. Remember, this offseason, all these questions. How do you replace Za'Darius Smith up front? Terrell Suggs, who, of course, left and went to Arizona temporarily. Well, the answer is you just continue to do what the Ravens do. Build back from within. Judon has been a great player for the Ravens this season. One of 12 players named to the Pro Bowl this week. Congrats
That's
to all real. Players
That's
headed
amazing.
To Orlando.
Rob. Closest game of the weekend?
I think it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Rams. Look, the Rams have been playing kind of up and down, right? And they're trying to figure themselves out offensively. But the San Francisco 49ers coming off a uncharacteristic loss against the Falcons, kind of trending in the wrong direction for the 49ers at the end of the season here, dealing with some injuries. It's going to be a tighter game. This defense, the 49ers defense, looking to get back on track, and they're going to win this game by two.
So it's always a problem when you're facing Aaron Donald, regardless of how good your interior offensive line is. But last week, the San Francisco 49ers offensive line could not slow down Grady Jarrett. It was the first game replacing Weston Richburg. It was Ben Garland who stepped into that starting center role. The 49ers have an awesome set of tackles. And when Richburg was healthy, he's a great center as well. But their guards have been the two areas of vulnerability all season. Add the center spot. The interior offensive line is something to monitor for the 49ers in the next 2 weeks and beyond.
Of these key games, Rob, what's the highest scoring game?
I think it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You see how they're working offensively. Look, you have Tyreek Hill. You have explosive players. You got Travis Kelce. You got Pat Mahomes, who is coming back. You know, I feel like the confidence of him after he had his patella tendon injury, it took a couple weeks for him to feel back to normal. You saw last week in the snow, he was having fun. He was spinning it in the snow. He was loving it. So you see a team here that they're having a good time. They're having a blast. Defensively, they're playing better. So I just think that Kansas City, they're ready to go. And against the Bears team that, look, they've been struggling too.
Flip side, lowest scoring game.
Lowest scoring game, I'm going the Patriots and the Bills.
10-7.
10-7. It's tense. It's going to be one of them old school defensive battles. And look, the Bills have a great defense. The Patriots, we all know, have a great defense. And it's going to be a 10-7 game. So if you're a defensive player like myself and you love watching defense,
you love that, huh?
Go check it out. It's going to be fun.
This will be a festive edition of Challenge Flags.
Okay.
You're up.
Go ahead. I'm challenging the Houston Texans. Look, Grab the bull by the horns. Go get the job done. Get off the roller coaster. I want you to go win this football game. You came off a big win last week. Let's win again.
Keep it simple here for me. Philadelphia Eagles secondary, find a way to slow down the Dallas Cowboys passing attack. I don't care how healthy Dak Prescott is.
Earlier in the show, Rob in his number Jack segment said he was hacking that losing streak by Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football. I'm with you. Come on, Kirk. Get your Vikings into the playoffs. And we don't ever have to say again, you haven't won on Monday Night.